At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omer Al-Khatib, Director of Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Good morning to you all. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to our fourth quarter and year-end 2009 conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, and Lori Ireland, our CFO, and Gaetan Bourassa, our COO. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors, and assumptions, we direct you to our news release and our most recent information filed on SEDAR. I'll now turn this over to Murad Al-Khatib for some comments, and then we'll go to questions.
Thank you, Omer. I would like to thank all of you for joining our year-end conference call for 2009. 2009 was indeed a transformational year for Alliance Grain Traders. It was a year of growth and change. The year started with the global economic crisis that threatened so many companies and brought an overwhelming sense of caution and concern for most industries around the globe. While our industry was no different, we benefited from our industry's primary distinguishing factor, the fact that regardless of the financial crisis, people still have to eat. As the year progressed, optimism began to grow, and following a season with low carryover stocks and with Canada carrying the brunt of world demand due to a second year of low harvest in Turkey and no product available, a good growing season in Canada and the U.S. gave everyone a feeling that things in our industry were getting better and stronger. This optimism continued throughout the year with reports of improved conditions in Australia, good conditions in Turkey, and continued strong demand for our products throughout the year. By carefully managing our processing and export programs to match available products with demand, and thanks to an ultimately robust North American harvest, our company was able to reap the benefits of a strong program and our solid management team. As a result, in our year-end and fourth quarter results, we reported sales of $387.9 million compared to $328.7 million in 2008, which was an increase of 18%. And our EBITDA, more importantly, increased 40% to $46.8 million from $33.5 million in 2008. All of our year-end and fourth quarter 2009 results are available on SEDAR and from our website at www.alliancegrain.com. These results were very positive for the work we have done, but we're not the same company ending the year that began it. The big story for AGT in 2009 was the transformational changes late in the year. We converted the trust to a dividend-paying corporation. We graduated from the Venture Exchange to the TSX, showing that we're ready for the future and to continue to grow this company. We added capacity through refurbishment of existing facilities in Canada, the U.S. and Australia, and through small tuck-in acquisitions like the Fenora acquisition and Parent Seeds acquisitions completed at the end of 2009. We added core assets and new platforms to our North American business. But those are not the factors that fully drove our growth. The real catalyst that will add to the growth of our company over the coming years is the acquisition of the Arbel Group in Turkey. The Arbel acquisition is one that brings our company full circle, as the principals of Arbel, the Arslan brothers, and I were the original partners who founded a private company called Saskan Pulse Trading in 2001. This acquisition creates a truly global leader in the pulse industry by bringing together the two largest players in the pulse processing and export business. It provides another piece of our global origin strategy of grain procurement from the four major pulse exporting regions spread throughout the globe. This gives AGT access to supply throughout the year as harvest periods shift through these origins, and it also provides us with significant diversification of our freight risk. Additionally, the acquisition provides new platforms for growth to augment our already strong pulse business, including a small pack retail business, milled wheat products like bulgur, semolina, and the Arbella brand of pasta, rice, and other foods like popcorn and sunflower seeds. All of our product offerings are staple foods, in keeping with our view that consumer demand for quality staple foods will continue to grow globally. Consumers are demanding higher quality, nutritious foods. Those of you who joined us on our first ever investor tour of the Arbel facilities in Turkey saw firsthand the state-of-the-art assets we acquired, as well as the management strength that Mr. Hussein Arslan, who was named executive chairman of AGT in 2009, and the entire Arbel group bring to our new company in the areas of production, merchandising, freight, and logistics. The Arbella pasta brand is an exciting part of the acquisition. The growth of this line has been analogous with the growth of AGT overall. Do what you do well, and the benefits will come to the company. In only 3 years, Arbella has become the number three domestic brand in Turkey. We've introduced this brand into 46 countries around the world, and it's currently an import brand leader in Japan, Israel, and is increasing its market share in many markets into which it's been introduced. It's the number one export brand now from Turkey, which is number two export origin for pasta after Italy. And some analysts forecast that Turkey will surpass Italy as the top pasta export origin in the coming decade. The opportunities in that sector are there and growing. Beans and chickpeas are another important growth platform we feel will assist us in maintaining our lead in the pulse business. Beans provide opportunities not seen in other products with year-round consumption rather than the traditional winter consumption peaks we see with other pulses. With over 1 million metric tons of estimated consumption in the U.S. market alone, there are big opportunities in beans. And with no identifiable global multi-origin bean processor, we see the potential to take a significant piece of a fragmented global market. When I move from beans to chickpeas, and specifically the hummus markets, we have in recent years seen hummus move out of the realm of ethnic food into mainstream food products. You can now find as five or more varieties of hummus in rural markets all over North America. In non-traditional markets, pulses are moving from the ethnic aisle of the supermarket and have become a mainstream food and food ingredient. And Alliance Grain Traders is there in the market as a major supplier of this ingredient. Our vision of pulses as a significant food ingredient is becoming a reality. We will not convert North American and Western European consumers into lentil consumers five times a week, but we will see mums buying foods for their children that contain pulse flour as a main ingredient used to fortify protein, vitamin profile, while lowering the product's glycemic index. Such products will include baked goods, breads, pastas, cookies, tortillas, just to name a few ideas. These pulse-based foods are increasingly coming onto the market, and Alliance Grain Traders expects to continue its focus on being the preferred supplier to the food and ingredient companies of the world. However, even with these new opportunities for growth, we're not turning away from the products that made us a success in the first place. With 3.2 million acres of lentil production forecast by some analysts in Saskatchewan, and production estimates increasing in virtually every pulse-producing origin, we expect this core aspect of our business to remain strong with ample supply available for processing. Production estimates from Turkey look good, and Alliance Grain Traders is positioned to capitalize on its diversification of grain procurement with excellent supply in all our major origins. The addition of capacity in Canada through the acquisition of Finora and Parent Seeds ensures we will be ready come harvest time. Poor growing conditions cannot be the norm in Australia every year, and we have fortified our position there with capacity and storage expansions of our operation in Victoria. When growing conditions in Canada, the U.S., Turkey, and Australia are right, and consequently production levels are high, AGT is ready to move significant grain through our system and realize our full capacity potential at our facilities. Opportunities for marketing premium products will be another component of the focus to incrementally grow our pulse business. The exclusive marketing rights to the B90 Amit chickpea, a popular small caliber chickpea favored by hummus makers, the King Red Lentil, billed as the biggest, boldest red lentil in the world, the Queen Green Lentil, the first true green cotyledon lentil, and the Octane and Skyline Navy Beans have all been secured by Alliance Grain Traders for the coming years. These programs will form a new business pursuit of over 100,000 acres of production in 2010 of exclusive varieties that will be marketed to our international distribution system. This adds to our opportunity for growth. However, the coming year will not be without its challenges. Continuing the path of integration of the assets which we have acquired, making sure we keep focused on our core business while always pursuing growth will be challenging. But with a strong market position and even a stronger management team, Alliance Grain Traders is up to the task. In conclusion, the future of our company looks bright, and as our story has unfolded over the past year, it's becoming increasingly clear that ours is not a commodity story, it's a food story, with one of the results being quality earnings for our shareholders. We will continue to be diligent with respect to the integration of our assets, which we acquired in 2009, that have helped with the transformational change and growth of our company, and will continue to focus on the core aspects of our business and on increased usage of the capacity we have in our system to generate results. We'll also continue to be ready to capitalize on the organic growth we expect in the coming years and to identify strategic opportunities and acquisitions that fit with our business, both within and outside our existing product lines, to further grow our presence in the global staple food sector and strengthen our position in our key markets. This strong market position and the overall financial condition of our company will enable us to build on the success we've enjoyed to date and grow as opportunities present themselves. I'd like to thank you for your support and your interest in Alliance Grain Traders, and along with members of our management team, I'm pleased to start to take some questions. Thank you.
Certainly, sir. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does allow and does not allow for response to all the questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'm well. Could you please, I don't know if you're going to do it for us, break out the EBITDA of your RBEL versus non-RBEL? I just would like to compare this quarter to the year ago, Q4 08.
Yeah, the RBEL group, the overall Turkish business unit, contributed year-to-date was about $8 million, and for the quarter it was about $6.6 million. So when we look at the comparison of quarter four last year to this year, you know, we've had a significant improvement overall in our utilization and our overall program. So, you know, I was quite pleased, and, you know, I do want to remind everyone that there's a couple of factors in this quarter to consider. First of all, the Finora and Parent Seeds acquisition were booked on December 31st, 2009, so there was not a single dollar of contribution from those acquisitions. And secondly, the RBEL contribution, while very positive and on our target, it is a non-peak time in terms of available supply in Turkey. And with the late crop in Canada, by the time we had product processed and it actually sailed to Turkey, we were looking at mid to third week November before they had any available Canadian product for processing. So, you know, given those conditions, I'm very, very pleased with the quarter.
So that 6.6 could look like closer to 8 if you'd gotten all the product there in time. Would that be fair?
Well, you know, Robert, we don't give guidance in earnings that way, but, you know, certainly there was an absence of product available for processing.
Okay, thanks.
Christine.
This is from Christine Healy of Genuity Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I got a few questions for you. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Go ahead, Christine.
First one, gross margins. Definitely came in higher than what I was looking for there. It came in at 21.8%. That's a lot higher than we've seen in previous quarters. Just curious if you can give us some kind of idea as what's driving those higher margins. Is that from the pasta business in Turkey? Is that increased utilization of the Turkey plants? And also, if you can give us a sense, is this level sustainable? Or was there anything particular in that quarter that...
Listen, I mean, I obviously, you know, strive every quarter to have our team maximize our margin, but, you know, the gross margins definitely did come in a little bit higher than how we were forecasting it as well. So, you know, I was very pleased with the margin. And as we refine the business segments that we're looking at, you know, we're obviously choosing spots and segments within each market that, you know, provide us the best margin profile. So, you know, is it sustainable? You know, I think definitely we were a little bit higher than what we had expected. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we're driving towards improving those margins and having a sustainable improvement. So time will tell whether or not that will continue. Certainly the branded products markets do add to our margin profile.
Okay.
And, of course, as utilization goes up, you know, we do have a positive contribution to our margin with a very high fixed cost component of our business. And so, you know, one of the things you're going to see, Christine, is you are going to see us in 2010 adopt a little bit of a change in the way we are actually presenting our reporting. And, you know, to me, gross margin is really a term that we have to define closely and see what cost items are contained within that. And so we are looking at the financial integration of Arbel and Alliance and actually noticing that the gross margin calculations for each business are done slightly differently. So we will be choosing a common method going forward, and we'll be presenting that, where we're going to take a lot more of our direct processing costs and put them into cost of sales. Because we do have a mix of our costs more in the general administrative as we run our businesses as cost centers. So you'll see that change over time. But, you know, overall the story is more, you know, differentiated products. So it doesn't even have to be the branded Arbella, you know, pasta type things. The more we can differentiate our products by color sorting, splitting, you know, sizing, branding our bags, the better we can do in delivering a higher margin. And that's, you know, really the aim of this game, is to differentiate Alliance as the premium supplier in the world.
So it was just a bit higher than what you were expecting, though. It wasn't
yeah,
way higher than what you were expecting, so we shouldn't see it go back down to the 18% level?
You know, again, I have to give you guys the same thing. We don't give you that much earnings guidance, but, you know, certainly our view is to continue to push our margins to the levels that we're at.
Are you going to start showing pulses versus pasta versus other products going forward so we can have some transparency in the segments and how they're performing?
Yeah, we had a board discussion recently on metrics, so we'll be designing up a more effective metrics package as we go forward.
Okay. Second question is on beans. You've been running the bean facilities now for a few months in Q1. What are your expectations for margin per ton on the beans? I know you can't provide, you know, specific dollar amounts here, but can you give us some kind of sense relative to margins on lentils, what you're looking for in beans?
Yeah, I mean, the bean business is, you know, relatively speaking, is a very similar margin profile to our current business. And, you know, again, it's a very similar segment to lentils, where you have, you know, certain more bulk type markets where, you know, you're shipping, let's say, you know, pinto beans into Africa at, you know, one margin. But when we're dealing with, you know, a canner in Italy or Heinz in the UK, we have a very different margin profile for the high-end processed food segment. So when I look at an average margin, we'd be, you know, at or at the high end of our existing margin profile, which is one of the reasons why we really like the bean segment going forward. And so when you look at our staple food strategy, you know, that we're implementing, the entire goal is to grow the company by maintaining our existing margin profile. So when we look at it, we look at beans, we like the profile of that. We like the chickpea segment because it's very focused on the hummus, the canning markets, the packing markets, and we really like rice because we're taking paddy rice from the farmer and we're transforming it into white rice in a 500-gram package in Turkey. These are the type of businesses that give us the margin upside as compared to, you know, shipping more bulk peas to China or India, which is only a fraction of our current margin. So I can grow the top line of the company, but I don't want to grow the top line while sacrificing my margin profile. So we're looking for business segments that fit.
Okay. And have you had to do some upgrades to those new facilities, and do you still have more upgrades to do?
The parent seeds facility is actually, you know, really was a wonderful location. So we have very little upgrade to do. At Finora, the same thing. The only thing we'll be doing in 2010 is adding more optical color sorting capacity, because our view of the world is that because we're the highest quality supplier, we like to pass all of our pulse products through these optical color sorters to make sure that the color is absolutely uniform, which gets us a premium in the market, which translates into higher margins. So there'll be a pretty modest capital program, but we'll make a few tweaks, but the plants are ready to roll.
Okay. Just one last question, and I'll jump back in the queue. I know you've talked about this in the past, and MD&A is mentioning it, just, you know, how you see further growth and some future acquisitions. Can you discuss just what your expected mode of funding these acquisitions would be? Do you expect to use your credit facilities? Do you think operating cash flow will be sufficient?
Yeah, I think that, you know, certainly there's two modes in my mind for funding further growth and acquisitions. It's free cash flow, you know, which we do have a very high free cash flow business. And then we will look to the markets for, you know, additional equity when the time is right, and, you know, continue to grow the company that way. Our debt capacity, Christine, we feel is largely going to be utilized by operating credit requirements to actually turn the very large book of business. I mean, don't forget, if I look at your analyst consensus for 2010, I think the revenue figure is somewhere around $750 million. And so with $750 million in sales, we will certainly have a significant working capital requirement. And so our debt capacity we're going to use for that, keep the company modestly levered, and continue to grow.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Murad.
Thanks. I think I've got David Pupo next.
Next question is from David Pupo of Macquarie Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I just want to get a better feeling for the lentil supply. Now, I understand probably about 60% of Canada's lentils sold very quickly, and there was a little bit of a game of chicken between some processors and the farmers themselves. Have they started selling again? What does the supply look like? You did make an indication in the press or in the financials, MD&A, that just a little bit of caution put into the possibility of a supply issue going into Q2, if you could discuss that a little bit for us. Oh, and what might have lentils been as a percentage of the quarter? Because you did break it out in the past when you did the Arbel acquisition.
Yeah. Okay, let me take question one. Question one on the lentil supply. Good catch on my caution, David. I mean, ultimately, we've had an extremely strong export year as a country. So the Canadian supply, while we expected it to be, you know, significantly higher, and it was, and we even made the comments that that would be very healthy for us to have a carryover from year to year. We're now in a position where we expect that the overall lentil supply, by the time we get to May, June, we're going to be strained at the end of the supply again. Now, the beauty of the alliance model is, of course, when we are strained for product, then Turkey will come in with a new crop again in end May, June, July. So you'll see us be in a position where at the end of quarter two and the beginning of quarter three, we'll have one of our major operating divisions, you know, humming at high utilization with a new crop available. So we are expecting, you know, farmers are selling. It is a struggle because Canadian farmers have made a lot of money over the last few years. And when you sell, if you look at anybody, if you've sold 70% of your product or 75%, the last 25%, you want to get what you want for it. And so I wouldn't characterize it as chicken, but the growers are holding until the point that they know they can't hold anymore, and then they'll sell it out. So I think that the positive side, though, for supply, David, is next year's acreage is going to come up again by another 30% or 40%. So, you know, we will certainly be in a position, I think, next year where we'll have a carryover to have a smooth transition from crop year to crop year.
Yeah, looking for a 33% increase in land and almost 12% increase in production in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, again, the statistics use average yield, and they use 10-year average yield. And one thing to recognize is that the current new varieties actually yield significantly better than the average of the 10 years because they're just agronomically improved. So I would see that number being, you know, higher than what they're forecasting today.
Okay.
Now, in terms of a breakout of lentils as a part of the quarter, I don't have that number exactly in front of me, David, but, you know, my estimate would be that that lentils would have made up probably about 65% of the quarter.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Next question is from Mark Robinson of Cormark. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. congrats on a great quarter and a terrific year.
Thank you.
Just around your volumes processed, I noticed this quarter you didn't include the information around an increase and decrease in actual volumes, where I think you'd done that from previous quarters. Is it possible to get the increase, decrease, not the actual number, of the volumes, ideally in Turkey and in the rest of the business?
Yeah, I don't have those numbers at my fingertips, Mark, so we'll have to try and pull it. But, you know, anecdotally, I can tell you that, you know, capacity utilization was definitely, you know, significantly up in the Canadian business segment because we were into a full, you know, new crop, you know, available. In Turkey, of course, utilization was up because we did have Canadian crop arrive into Turkey, but really not until around the 15th to the 20th of November.
Yeah.
So we only had a contribution of the pulses and grains segment for a shortened period in the quarter from Turkey. So, you know, I do expect the overall, you know, contribution from Turkey to be higher when product is available. When I look at, we're just actually looking at the numbers as we're speaking. So when we look at quarter three versus quarter four,
yeah,
we've got that quarter three number handy there. So I think I'll have to get back to you with the exact number. I don't have the quarter, but the quarter three number I don't have right in front of me here.
Okay.
I know what we've, just 1 second. We're just seeing if we've got that that number here.
77,000.
Yeah, so we're yeah, so we're up about on utilization in terms of invoiced versus quarter three versus quarter four, we're up about 40% in terms of our tonnage that we invoiced.
And that would be across all, the entire business?
That's the entire consolidated. I don't have the breakdown by division.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, we'd expect that, of course, with the crop coming. I mean, remember in Q3, with the late harvest, we were dealing on fumes from last year.
Yeah. So would these domestic facilities have been fully utilized? Or, you know, if you had an even larger crop, could you have processed that?
No, I mean, I will tell you, during this quarter, one of the motivations of acquiring Finora is in our traditional product segments, you know, we were at full utilization during these quarters. So when we look at, you know, availability of additional, you know, product to put through our existing plants, we didn't have a lot of additional time. Although you can appreciate there were certain, you know, small occurrences like the CN Rail disruption that happened, which, you know, put a little bit of a bottleneck into some shipping this quarter. But overall, utilization was quite high. And in order to react to the new crop coming with a much more significant acreage and tonnage projected, we need more capacity for the peak periods.
Can you comment just on Finora? Because I know that was severely underutilized when you purchased it. Just and now having one quarter under your belt, you know, how well that's being integrated into the business and how utilization there is improving?
Well, there's two factors there. I mean, the integration is going well. We knew, you know, all the staff. We maintained all of the production staff there. So integration was very smooth and very simple. Even they used the same accounting system that we used. So the accounting grain management system we use is a program called ProSoft. So from that perspective, we had a very smooth integration there. The assets are great assets, and you know, very high capacity, very good quality, and we're going to make a few tweaks to add some optical color sorting at the Finora Wilkie plant that doesn't exist today. But we expect a very good contribution to those assets in 2009.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The next question is from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Just a couple of questions. First, with respect to your disclosure, I noticed that you're now breaking out manufacturing and processing costs, and on the year-end numbers, it was to the tune of about $7.7 million. Now, I'm assuming that previously this was all included in cost of sales, so I'm curious to know, what is it about these costs?
Oh, Anoop, let me stop you there. That's the point. They're not in cost of sales?
Previously, they were in cost of sales.
This is actually part of the transition phase of standardizing our cost on the consolidation of Arbel and of Alliance. And so what we decided to do this time is we wanted to actually point out the breakdown of the general and administrative expenses between processing related costs and direct and indirect costs. And then we will be looking at implementing an accounting, kind of a classification. It's not really a policy change, but we'll actually move a portion of those costs up to cost of sales as we do the final integration of Arbel in the first quarter of 2010.
So you're just showing them here separately on an interim basis?
Yeah, I think we actually just ran by our board the accounting classification change, and we will go to a quarter one implementation of all of our direct processing costs in all of our global operations will go into our cost of sales.
Okay.
And so we'll be able to make a note of that and be able to give you guys some information on the past quarter so that when you're doing your comparatives, you can see how that change would have affected past results.
Okay, fine.
So we want to, that's why we did it. We wanted to start to say, hey, there is a portion of our direct manufacturing costs that are actually within our general administrative expenses, because we run as cost centers. And so the way we've always grouped these is we've grouped them that way. This is not a change. So the past results have all been done the same way. And so the decision was, do you make the change in fourth quarter at a year end, or do you make the change for a fresh year so that each quarter could be compared on the same policy? We decided to change in 2010.
Okay. And then just out of curiosity, why do you include your FX gains in your EBITDA number?
Again, we define it. EBITDA is not a GAAP measure. We include the FX gain. We note it separately, so you guys can strip it out if you want to.
My understanding was that with the FX policy you implemented, particularly in Turkey, that you would never be offside more than like $500,000. So I'm just a little surprised.
Well, actually, these are not related to Turkey. In fact, Turkey's FX, what was it?
Over $100,000.
It was $100,000 in Turkey. This is just a snapshot, mark-to-market, year-end FX contracts being mark-to-market. It's an unrealized item, and it will actually reverse itself as we go forward.
Okay, fair enough. And then how much of your, because of the lateness in the Q4 harvest, how much of that spilled over into Q1?
Well, the lateness would only have spilled over mostly into the Turkish operation because the cargo would have been in transit. So we wouldn't necessarily say that there's a significant spillover from the Canadian or U.S. business from quarter four to quarter one. It's just regular course of business.
And then last question, if I'm correct, I think you said that you were going to book about $5 million in synergies on the back of the Arbel deal. I'm curious to know where you are in terms of realizing on that $5 million number.
I would say that there's very little, with the exception of the interest savings that have started to kick in now. But 2010 is the year that you're going to see the synergies. So we're, implementing the freight savings program, the option origin shipping programs that are going to allow us to capture more margin. And so we're very confident in our ability to deliver the synergies that we indicated in the prospectus on the Arbel acquisition, which again, we maintain our position that this is a, very transformational and accretive acquisition, and we're very pleased with the way it's going so far.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Steve Anderson of Venator Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Murat.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Good. You?
Good, thanks.
Good. So you're going to quit the company there. My question is more of a strategic question, the way you envision it. And Yeah, obviously the seasonality still exists because the size of the lentil business in your current business. So you get a strong Q4, strong Q1, and then kind of a weaker Q2, Q3, and that's expected on an annual basis. But I'm wondering over time and what pieces you have of the puzzle currently in place to smooth that out, and where do you see it, and how many more acquisitions do you envision having to go through to get to a point where you kind of smooth that out with different crops?
Yeah, a very good question, Steve. I mean, the ultimate pursuit of a staple food strategy is to choose products that, you know, have a very different demand profile than the winter consumption of lentils. And if you notice in my prepared comments, I focused on the bean and the chickpea segments to talk about the fact that bean consumption, I mean, when we look at, you know, refried bean, you know, consumption in U.S. Tex-Mex restaurants, that's not a winter or a spring or a summer item. It's a year-round consumption. Or black beans. Or hummus is not a winter or summer. Pasta is not consumed more in one season versus the other. Rice is a year-round item. So when we look at the new growth segments of chickpeas, beans, pasta, and rice, you know, these are the business segments that are actually aimed at transforming this company from a seasonal products company in staple foods to a, you know, global multi-origin staple foods company with a very consistent, you know, business that's spread through the four quarters of the year. And so that is the ultimate goal. And one of the things that's very important is we need to be processing these products year-round to actually be able to boost our utilization of our existing assets. So when I look at my existing assets that do lentils, you know, we have a very strong focus on chickpeas, on canary seed, on flax seed, on mustard seed, on all of these different products that will allow us to use the same assets at different times of the year to boost our utilization. Because the bottom line is, as Mark from Cormark, when he asked his question, during the peak shipping season, our assets are at 85 to 90% utilization currently. And so what we're really looking for is businesses that allow us to utilize our existing assets at different times of the year, and we're trying to find new business lines that give us earnings consistently throughout the year, and that will be the acquisition focus. So, you know, as I look at the growth forward, you know, our view is within a 3 to 5 year cycle of growth in this business, with a much more significant focus on North America and Western Europe for, you know, more food and ingredient type marketing of our pulse crops and the new product lines that we're in, within a 3 to 5 year cycle with some good tuck-in acquisitions and some organic capacity growth, we should achieve a much more smooth seasonal quarter two and quarter three. Now, don't forget as well that quarter three will actually be smoothed somewhat by the acquisition of Arbel, because the crop in Turkey comes the end of May, beginning of June. So really a peak shipping period for Turkey is late June through late August. And that is a time where Canadian crop is usually very scarce. And so that acquisition alone will help to smooth the seasonality of that quarter three. So the quarter two smoothing is largely focused on South America for us. So as we get further into that, remember the winter consumption in South America is in the quarter two period versus the winter consumption in the rest of the world, which is more in quarter three, quarter four, quarter one. So, you know, the south or southern hemisphere markets provide us another opportunity.
So I guess, you know, in the last quarter, lentils were, what, 65% of the revenue? Is that, I think, what you...
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my goal would be to I mean, remember, lentils sound like a very narrow category, but you have 10 different types of lentils going to 85 countries. So really, you could consider lentils to be 10 different products, but we group it together. But we do want to reduce our reliance on lentils. I'd like to have that down around 35 to 40% of our book within the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, so you're well into your process right now. It's more of a tuck-in acquisition, or are you looking at majors still?
I mean, I got to be honest. In the pulses sector, there are no majors to do.
Yeah.
We did the only major that was on our horizon. That was Arbel, and so now the focus of the pulses business is on you know, tuck-in acquisitions. You know, the size of those may rise from that, you know, 5 to 15 million for to the 10 to 25 millions. So we'll continue to go on that path. But the acquisitions could exist in the pasta sector, the rice sector. But again, I want to take those sectors slow. I mean, we want to make sure we grow our market. We don't want to jump in too far and stray away from what's made us very successful.
Now, are there acquisitions you can do in let's say, the rice sector, or is it a pretty fragmented market?
Oh, there are, actually. There's some very large rice players in the world, and the more you get into, you know, the rice milling side, you know, we look at the U.S. rice milling industry, and we see a very big opportunity for us to get involved in that, and then to continue to grow our presence in Turkey and Turkey and North Africa. So the strategy will be focused on North America and then the region of Turkey, North Africa. So they're very distinct regions. So in the U.S. alone, there are a number of acquisitions that we could be looking at in the coming 5 years in rice.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you right, then I guess, you know, with the Arbel acquisition and through this year, we should probably expect to see this year a bit smoother than we've seen the previous years.
Absolutely. That's the pursuit. I mean, definitely the pursuit is products that give us a much smoother profile.
Okay. So not as much volatility or variability between the quarters, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's going to affect that, as I keep saying, is available supply, right? So, you know, we did, you know, put out a little bit of a cautionary statement already in the MD&A to say, you know, when Canadian product, I mean, a lot of our capacity is in Canada. We can't forget that today. And if Canadian supply is very tight, you know, there ultimately will be a capacity utilization effect on the Canadian operation.
And where does storage play into all of that with the other crops? So, you know, if your processing, I guess, throughput is, you know, lower on lentils and you have other crops stored up that you can put through in those slower months to get your utilization up, how much more storage do you have to build out?
Well, the thing is, remember, our model is very much based on back-to-back from the grower to the end-use customer, hedging the risks along the chain. So, you know, additional storage implies price risk. And as a result of the fact that we don't have hedging mechanisms for the commodities that we handle, you know, we don't see that being a model that we're going to pursue in our North American business, because on-farm storage exists. And, you know, ultimately what we need to do is encourage more acreage in the crops or be diversified to be able to take crops that move at different times of the year. Hence the pursuit on, you know, flax and on canary seed and on mustard and on other specialty products that we can use to fill in our gaps.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question is from Sandy L. Baroudi, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sandy.
Hello, Mr. President. Just a little question. In the release, you show a very big net income for 2009, representing a 35% increase over 2008. However, the earnings per share are lower in 2009 than in 2008. Could you comment on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've had a very transformational year with a very significant increase in the number of our shares. And, you know, the Arbel acquisition, you know, actually warranted us to go out and raise. We did a $100 million subscription receipts deal that, you know, I think we increased our share count from 6.5 million to 17 million. So when we look at the shares that we've actually issued, the capital that we've actually raised, and the acquisitions that we've actually undertaken, the income effect of those acquisitions have not been realized yet. They'll be realized in 2010 in a lot of cases. So if you look at Arbel, I mean, we only have one quarter, or actually 105 days, really, one quarter and 10 days in the other quarter of their earnings included. And if you look at the Finora and the Parent Seeds acquisition, they were done on the last day of the year. So none of those earnings have shown in. So I think when you evaluate our performance at the end of 2010, and you look at the earnings that we've been able to generate from the funds that we've actually raised as a result of issuing more equity, you're going to find that the acquisitions have been very accretive, and management views that the earnings per share are going to be able to illustrate that and show it.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Much appreciated.
No problem, Sandy.
We have a follow-up question from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Roberto, go ahead.
Hey, gross margin per ton. Can you enlighten us what we would have seen in Q4? And ideally, we'd get a range plus or minus $10. And if not, maybe you just give us a relative change in that gross margin per ton versus Q3 09 and Q4 08, please.
Robert, in terms of gross margin per ton, as you know, we don't really go that deep in our disclosure, but you know, certainly the percentages are higher, and if you look at the overall growth in the tons that we've invoiced, we've not seen a very significant change in that overall gross margin per ton. We did a lot more tons, which generated a lot more earnings. And, I wouldn't say that the margin profile overall has been dramatically different, you know, as compared to traditional. I mean, margins in this business can move 10% up or down, you know, in terms of the overall dollar of rephrase that. They can go up 10% or go down 10% on the actual dollar per metric ton that we're handling. So as a result of that, we really don't see, a very significant variance. But don't forget, on a percentage basis, as the price goes down, you know, our percentages go up. And we have seen a very significant reduction in the commodity prices, the base prices. So when you look at our sales growth, for instance, you know, you guys have to recognize that the sales growth is really a function of the commodity price. And so if we look at the volume handled growth over the sales growth, our volumes grew much more than our sales. And so as a result, you're seeing a much stronger earnings, which is what we should expect. So a normalized commodity price, because we target a fixed dollar margin per ton, you know, as commodity prices go down, you're going to see our results. If you look at it on a traditional sense of percentages, we're going to look like we're getting more and more profitable. When realistically, we're not getting that much more profitable, we're just continuing to maintain our margin profile, you know, as we go forward. Now, sustainable improvement in that margin is a different category. We may change our dollar margin target depending on the product segment, and as we move into different product segments, that margin expectation goes higher, and as a result of that, you see a sustainable improvement.
Thank you.
The next question is it's a follow-up from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just coming back to 2010 and the same utilization issue that I think we're all trying to get our heads around, if we assume that for 2009 across the platform you're running about 55%, given the forecast we have for crop and yield in Canada and Turkey right now, is it reasonable to assume that utilization could go from something like 55 to 65%?
I won't tell you it will go from 55 to 65, but it's reasonable to assume it has a chance to be boosted in that fashion.
Okay.
How's that for a politically correct answer, Anu? Do you like
that
one?
Would that be on a full year basis, or would that just be inferring that by the end of the year you'd be getting there?
I think that ultimately, remember, part of the boost in capacity utilization in Turkey is aimed at having available crop. Okay, so if the crop there comes in, you know, as expected, we expect utilization there to be significantly higher than last year, which in itself will boost the 55% utilization across the platform.
Right.
The Canadian side, realistically, if quarter two is short on products, then ultimately our assets are fairly utilized, you know, through the last half of the year. We don't see significant growth there. However, we are going to ramp up utilization on Finora and parent seeds. So that percentage might not change, but the actual tons handled will definitely be enhanced by those acquisitions.
But when you talked about 55% utilization in Canada, I'm assuming that you had included in that number the capacity that you acquired at the close of December.
No, we did not. I mean, those capacities were not. Well, first of all, the 55 is just an estimate. I mean, we didn't say 55% utilization in our filings, but the utilization of our capacity, Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it could be including that because their utilization was running around that level. So
yeah,
it won't affect our current state as we include them January 1st onwards.
Okay, thanks.
And with that, we'll wrap up our conference call. I'd like to thank everyone for participating. I'd just like to remind everyone that an audio archive and a transcript of this call will be posted on our website on March 25th. If you do need to replay the call, please refer to our news release regarding this call for replay instructions, or you can visit our website at alliancegrain.com. And if you have any further questions today, please don't hesitate to give us a call at the office, and we'll be happy to answer them. And I'd like to wish you all a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.